Welcome to Lisa Beats Your Meat, episode...
Seven.
Seven.
This is episode
the
seven.
The environment.
Dun, yes. Dun, dun. We're going to talk about the environment today. I'm going to try to not say yes aggressively over and over again.
I'm not going to say the F word. I'm going to keep it under five F words.
That's not going to happen. All right, well, let's start off with our shot.
Obligatory. Don't say the whole word. Hates that word. Obligatory shot
of Jack Daniels. Cheers. Smooth. You good?
No, it's just...
Well, while Lisa drinks this off, we're in Erie, Pennsylvania tonight.
I need some water.
On the water.
Yes.
We're on the last day of our vacation. The last podcast came from a boat. And we discussed famous vegans, sort of.
We talked about four vegans.
Yeah, and then we realized...
both of us were included. The other one was Moby and Ellen.
We realized it went a little bit long, so we stopped it.
We made another one. But after, upon review, we did not feel comfortable releasing it.
Vegan part two. We're not ready for that. But we'll keep it. Maybe we'll put it out there.
No.
It'd be like episode 50.
No. It was really embarrassing.
Yeah, I got a little carried away. But
no one needs to do two shots of Jack Daniels in a night.
Yeah, well, vegan number two, it's out there. If you know us, I'll send it to you privately. But
no.
We're not going to follow up with that.
But just like I said in the first one, everyone's vegan. 100%. Anybody who's cool, anybody who look up to, they're vegan, including Donald Trump.
Well,
101%.
We carried on our trip. The last time we talked to you,
we
were in Sanford, Connecticut on a boat. We talked a lot about that. It was a good time. Then we continued up northeast. We drove through Brooklyn. We did not stop. Carried on. No, we did that on the way to Sanford. So we already talked about that. We carried up into the Cape Cod area. Stayed with a good friend, Justin.
And then we actually went to Cape Cod. As much as you gave me shit about not going to Cape Cod, and you're like, it's Cape Cod area. We went to Cape Cod.
Well, I said that to Justin, and he was like, no, I technically do live in Cape Cod. Yeah. So we were in Cape Cod the whole entire time. But we saw a lot of cool places. We went to an aquarium. There's a lot. I mean, it's an incredible place. I've never been there.
It's really pretty. We got some vegan ice cream.
Yes.
In Cape Cod.
Another yes.
Yes. We figured out Jimmy says yes a lot.
I'm going to work my best on that. What other vegan things did we have up there?
You're excited. You're positive, proactive.
Or it's a crutch.
Yes.
Like,
yes. Anyways, I think I say probably anyways. Well, in Cape Cod, so we had some vegan ice cream. That was delicious. What other vegan treats did we have in Cape Cod?
We went out to dinner, a really good sushi place. And anytime you go to get sushi, there's always a lot of options that don't include actual raw fish.
I had some tempura sweet potato. Sweet potato tempura, it's amazing.
And then, what's that? Is the California roll?
Yeah, that's usually... Sometimes they put some crab in that, but that was just a vegetable roll. That was dank as well.
Yeah, and as...
I didn't get to finish it because my child started losing it. And that's the only time he's lost it on this trip.
And we went to a diner, and I had a giant heaping mound of potatoes with peppers, mushrooms, and onions, some rye toast.
Bob also pooped out of his onesie. It was all up his back.
I try to forget about that.
Sorry. That's just normal day-to-day stuff. So we went to Cape Cod, then we came back down. We went to where Jimmy's from.
Where is that?
I don't know how to pronounce it.
Binghamton, New York, but upstate New York, a small city in upstate New York that most people have not heard of unless you're familiar with SUNY Binghamton College, which is a lot of SUNY schools. But my point here is that it's a very small city, and we stayed downtown. There's probably like six places to eat, and
three of them had... Backtrack.
Yeah.
Before that, can we talk about the hotel we stayed at?
Yeah.
Where it showered? For me?
Oh, yeah. So I grew up in this town, probably
Binghamton.
Second grade through my early 20s, I lived there. And I never stayed downtown, obviously, because that's where my family's from. But there's a pretty famous, not famous, but a heart of the city hotel. Probably been there for over 100 years.
It was in the middle of it.
It's its last renovation the was Grand probably Royale. In like the 40s. Oh, or
it was
50s.
Renovated. Interesting.
I don't know. Maybe not. But it was definitely the shadiest.
No. So we get a room there and we get settled in and I'm like, hey, I'm going to take a shower. And exactly at that moment, the shower turns on in the bathroom. And well, I was like, wow, this place is like forward. Like, I just thought about having a shower and a shower turned on. And I was thoroughly impressed until we went to the bathroom and someone else was taking a shower. And they just happened to be a floor ahead, like above us. And it was just raining in on our bathroom. And then he goes downstairs to get another room because he was like, hey, guys, there's a shower going on.
He being me.
And I didn't turn that on. And they give us the room next door, and it's the same thing going on.
Water raining down from the ceiling.
Two rooms.
That room was, the first room was raining down into our shower. This one, it was raining down into the shower and the bathroom
oh,
and
really?
Other places. Ugh. It was literally raining in the room.
Well, we got a third room.
We got a third room, yeah, and it was fine. We stayed there. It was cool.
I woke up kind of a little in a panic that I had some bed bugs, but turns out, so far, so good.
So far, no bed bugs.
And we're in Erie, PA right now.
In a beautiful hotel.
Coming to you from hot Erie, PA.
Before that, what I was going to say is I was kind of surprised in Cape Cod. We Googled vegan breakfast, vegan lunch, and tried to find some places, and there wasn't any dedicated vegan places, which is fine. We ate great. You always can eat great. But in Binghamton, like many cities,
straight up vegan.
There was tons of options. There was a couple bars that brewed their own beer that had vegan
speedies, chicken speedies.
No one knows what a speedy is unless you're from
the
Northeast.
It's world renowned worldwide.
It's like a marinated chicken, but obviously you can do it with a fake chicken.
It's a sauce. It's like a dressing.
Yeah,
it's like a special Italian dressing. You go into your grocery store next year, you have a speedies.
Sauce, yeah, Salamita speedy sauce. You might have seen it. If you are interested, it's amazing. Grab it, soak some chicken in it, and then grill it up.
No, not chicken. That's opposite of what we're getting at.
Vegan chicken. The kind that you buy in...
No, it goes well with Speedy's chicken.
Yeah, get some chicken. No, the strips that are frozen...
Chicken strips, yeah.
They seem to be able to...
Hold it?
Take in a marinade.
They
I was kind of surprised by that.
Frozen... Chicken strips love Speedy's.
They can take a marinade. I don't think there's a lot of frozen stuff you can buy that can take
a
marinade.
True. That's a good point.
Nice
analytical discussion about cooking.
All right, we'll speed it up because we want to get to some good, serious stuff today.
Speed it up on the Speedy's.
We blabbed a lot about nothing last time. But so then we traveled to
environment.
Through Binghamton. Yeah, saw some family. Now we're in Erie, Pennsylvania, in a hotel room. And we want to get down to some environmental discussions.
The brass tacks.
The first episode, we talked a ton about... Well, I guess I'll stop myself right there. The first episode, so we're kind of, new at this. So we're looking at our data and stuff. We have a lot of people that are listening to this show. We're excited about that.
10,000 listeners.
Not even close. But most of them have listened
it's
to the
close.
The first episode.
It's 2,000.
Yeah. That it's been tapped into. And... one thing I've been reading a lot about podcasts is that there's a very low ratio of listens to any sort of feedback. So I'm just going to take 1 second to beg
for feedback.
If you listen to this show and you're interested, even in the tiny bit, either like it, comment it, rate it, even if you don't like it on iTunes. Tell us how you feel about it on Instagram. We just were dying for feedback. And I've gotten a little bit, I've pried out of people, but...
Yeah, like you talked to me about how awesome my voice sounds.
Yes. Tell her. It's beautiful.
All right.
We want to talk about why we're vegan. And we've mentioned, I keep saying the word health aspect, and we keep saying environmental purposes, and we keep saying the animal cruelty, but we haven't gotten too deep into it. We talked a ton about cheese, 2 episodes about cheese and dairy.
So let's talk about the real stuff.
Yeah, we didn't even get that much into the health of it.
This is why you are a vegan. I mean, besides the health aspect.
It's weird. This is what I became of. I decided to try vegan because of this.
The health or because of the
environmental. And there's some irony there. And I want to start off with that. All right. So to begin this, I don't know how far we're going to get. But we're going to start by talking about climate change, global warming.
Climate, it's a hoax.
And if you know me and you've heard...
I'm just kidding.
You hear the word climate change come out of my mouth, you're probably cringing. because I have a lot of varying opinions on this. I teach government and politics, and science and politics very intertwined. And when you bring the government into the scientific world, there's some issues there. And yeah. that's come up.
Let's not get political.
We're not going to get political. We're but not. That's come up in, you know, these documentaries like Cowspiracy.
Yes, he talks about the government involvement a lot.
Yeah, and Cowspiracy is the thing that I talked about in the first episode that I watched that drove me into, you know, wondering why everyone's not vegan. And that's what we want to kind of start with today. So I'm going to definitely throw some numbers out there that mostly have come from data from books that I've read, but they've been collected well in Cowspiracy. So if you want an easy way to verify some of this, watch that documentary or go to their website. It's all sourced very well. But
so let's talk about the environment. How is eating meat and dairy, or, you know, which one's worse? How is eating meat and dairy affecting our environment?
Well, I want to start off by saying, again, we're talking about climate change. And
we're
climate
not talking
change.
About the environment?
That's environmental. Right?
Right.
Right.
But isn't it just. Okay.
Well, the term climate change and global warming.
Iceberg slushies?
Is debated. And I. You know, I say this because in this political culture that we're in, we have two political parties that see this very differently. But when it comes back to science, what does science believe? Science believes that
that our world is warming up.
Yes, our world is warming.
What's so bad with that?
I
wouldn't mind be a few degrees hotter.
The the ocean temperature rises. The ocean level rises.
Like a couple degrees.
It could hurt. The water culture.
They're like not going to be happy anymore.
The species. We'll get to all this, but global warming in general is debated, and some people have a problem with even saying that global warming is something that people don't agree with. So I want to start with that.
Okay. Well, can I talk about that? Because yeah. I don't as like okay, global warming. Is it happening? Is it not happening? Are humans causing it? Is our consumption causing it? Is it a mystery whether or not whatever the hell we're doing to this world is negatively affecting us? No, it's not. Like whether or not we are gaining degrees in our climate or changing our climate, I think that's kind of like besides the point. It's very obvious that we are doing devastating things to our world, regardless if it's changing the climate or not. You know, yeah, like that's just one side effect. Like they were talking about how
this could be like an end of human species
but
side
so
effect.
So could it be if we lose the oceans. If we overfish and we take all the species out of our oceans, that's also deathly. Or if we remove certain species from our whole environment, that could be devastating as well. Like climate change is devastating, but so are so many other things that are so easy to prove it's happening. I guess my beef with this is that people go apeshit about climate change and they're like, is it happening? Is it not happening? Is the government involved in studying this? Blah, 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 blah. When it's like, yeah, no, I can literally look outside and be like, that shit doesn't look as good anymore.
Yes.
And that's obvious.
And that's what I kind of want to get at. And that's kind of the thesis of this show.
That's like
the Cowspiracy. The Cowspiracy movie gets into that exactly. What kind of things are happening to this environment? But I think we can go a step beyond that to show what are Americans paying attention to.
Okay.
And why are they paying attention to that? Why are they focused on this and not that?
And they're
and
only
why are they
obsessed
ignoring,
with climate change.
And but they are
Who
obsessed with climate change. And why are they not?
One. Who coined climate change? The word,
know.
The term.
I have no idea.
You don't?
You can look that up, but
I don't have
that's
that.
Not important.
I don't have that ability.
That's not important. All right. So just to start off, Yale did a big study. They have a website on it. It's called climatecommunication.yale.edu.
I've been to Yale.
And the question on the national average, if you ask, is global warming happening? Just straight up, the whole entire country averaged together based on this long-term study. I don't know exactly how many people are asked, but it looks like a decent study. 70% of Americans say, yes, it is happening.
It's occurring.
So, to be honest, it was kind of higher than I thought. But more importantly than that, I guess, is the next question is global warming caused mostly by human activity? And this is an important question because
would our world heat up just naturally?
Well, yes, it has throughout history, and it's cooled throughout history. But the global warming concern is that we are causing it to heat up
rapidly
at a level that human existence can't sustain itself. Okay. Or at least the modern world that we live in. So
can we just have another ice age?
No.
Why not?
Because we'll all die. 53% of Americans believe that global warming is caused mostly by human activity. So that's where it becomes political. Because if you're concerned with that on a human level, then you're going to look to your government and tax dollars and things like that to help fund it. I'm going to slap you in the face. You just yawned.
I'm sorry.
You should do another shot of Jack.
I was moving out to see these figures and facts.
Yeah, I was talking about numbers.
sorry.
All right, well, let's switch over. So anyways, global warming, climate change. There are some things going on with the climate.
Something's happening.
It's a large, you know, the world has come together through the UN and other organizations to say that this is something that we as a globe, as a planet, as an Earth have to deal with.
We as a globe.
But some Americans do see it as not something that's caused by humans, a natural cycle of cooling or heating that we shouldn't be investing in.
So there's a person out there that's like, I hear this BS about global warming. I'm not concerned about it. It's stupid. I'm going to ignore it.
Yes. But like you just said earlier, let's, for hypothetical sake, say
just have an ice age.
I'm one of those people that says global warming isn't real. It's not something that humans are causing. I'm in that 47% of Americans that say that. But that doesn't mean that 47% isn't concerned with the state of our nation when it comes to the environment. So okay, let's get to that. But a lot of, you know, 77% of the country sees that global warming is a concern. And let's talk about the number one cause of global warming and climate change. The UN agrees on this. The scientific community agrees on this. Many Americans agree on this.
All the scientists I know agree on it.
Yes.
And I know like two.
Well, you know a couple. What was the percentage of Americans that don't support animal agriculture?
3%.
Yes.
3%? Oh my God, I remembered.
And what's the percentage of Americans who believe that global warming
is caused by humans?
It's caused by humans.
53%.
Yes. Oh. And then 70% see it as a major concern. So,
but no one's doing anything.
Yes. And the science to prove that global warming is caused by animal agriculture is pretty cut. Clear.
Yeah.
If you believe that greenhouse gases are causing climate change or the earth to heat or, you know, storms and hurricanes and all the things
that we've had issues,
then if you look at animal agriculture, you're going to see that it is the number one cause. It's CO2 and methane CO2 and methane are the biggest gases that are going to be
let
up into the atmosphere. That's the methane. But
methane. That's in the cow fart. Do you know why cows fart methane?
Same reason I fart methane?
No, it's not.
Because they eat a lot of vegetables?
No.
Because they're on a plant-based diet?
No.
But they are, though.
It's because cows are fed corn. Cows don't usually eat corn. Cows usually eat grass. That's why you have to pay more for grass-fed beef. If you've ever heard of grass-fed beef, it's because... and it, like, tastes better, apparently.
It does. I'll vouch for that.
I've never had grass-fed beef. But it's when a cow is given their natural food they're supposed to eat, they're apparently a little bit happier. And then their food tastes better. Like, their meat tastes better. But a cow has been forced to eat corn because the corn is subsidized by our government.
Which, and space-wise, just one cow needs,
right,
I think,
right,
like, like 3 or 4 acres of grass.
Yeah.
So 20 cows. I mean, you can continue to multiply that. There's just not enough land.
Right. So cows will eat corn for the space reasons and because it's subsidized. So the government literally wanted to push the crop corn at one point in time. And so they said, hey, farmer, if you farm corn, we will give you like tax breaks, incentives. We will pay you and essentially pay you to grow corn. So farmers were like, hell yeah, I'm going to grow corn. I'm not going to give my cows grass because I can make more money off of this corn. So they started to feed corn to cows. I don't know when that started. Probably like the subsidies, you know, well, like it's 40s,
it's a natural progression too, because like I said, I mean, land is a luxury, mm-hmm. and the less land you use, the better. But
so they started most feeding them
of
corn.
The animal agriculture land that is destroying land is not the actual cows. It's the growing of the seed.
To feed them. Yeah, feed them.
So you need 10 times as much land than you need actual cattle.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it takes a lot to feed a cow. They're big animals.
But it's not just cow farts.
Well, hold on. I'm getting to that. Okay. So anyways, the point is that cows are not supposed to eat corn. And when they do eat corn, they're on a constant level of kind of having like a stomach ache, and they're just ripping farts all over the place, and they're way gassier than they would be if they were living off of what they're actually intended to eat.
Yes.
So that's why cows produce way more methane.
Well, that makes sense. And according to several sources here, which I can cite them, but livestock and their byproducts account for at least 32 million tons of carbon dioxide per year. Cars put out carbon dioxide, but yeah. Carbon dioxide isn't really the concern. Apparently methane is 25 to 100 times more destructive than CO2. So when we talk about, I don't think this was in our last podcast. I think it was the part two we
Nothing
cut out. We talk about
was in our last podcast.
We talk about
the last
you
podcast
know,
was me being drunk, just like yeah. chit-chatting.
We drive a 18-year-old V8 SUV that guzzles gas.
I just crashed it.
Yeah, but it
just the corner
is it's not. The, I mean, it, and some people look down on that as you know you're causing environmental destruction. But all of the transportation in the whole entire world, cars, trucks, buses, airplanes, ships, all of that together, yeah. the CO2 that produces. Is comparable to the CO2 the animal agriculture produces, but not even a flash of what the methane that's been put off by this cattle. And the methane is 25, again, 100 times more likely more destructive than CO2. So
animal agriculture is way worse. Than cars, automobiles, trains, planes, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, so
all together.
So, I mean, I'll be honest with you. If you're someone who's a climate change person, or you're someone who's, if you're in that 50% of Americans or that 70% of Americans that see this as dangerous and that humans have something to do with it, then by supporting animal agriculture, whether it's cows, chickens, whatever, any bit of animal agriculture, if you're supporting it, you are not concerned with global warming. And if you pretend to be, you're full of shit.
And you are into the environment, and you're still eating meat.
And there's really no
Screw
way to deny
you.
That. But I'll be honest with you again. I was never really that guy. I'm not into that argument that much, and that's not what convinced me. It wasn't really the climate change. But
do you think that people just really agree with all this stuff, but then when they go to eat vegan food, they're like, I don't like vegan food?
Well, I know people, and I don't want to name them, that are extremely concerned with the environment.
Yeah.
Like, they live off, even this Kip guy from the Cowspiracy movies and stuff, but just in my personal life, I could probably rattle off 3 or 4 people that I know that
concerned.
Are extremely, to the point where they reduce their showers, they don't flush their toilet as much, they only drive... What about
Remember?
Rush Limbaugh?
We were watching, or we were listening to Rush Limbaugh, Limbaugh.
What are you, a conservative listening to
Limbaugh.
Rush Limbaugh?
No, I'm not. Limbaugh. Is that it?
Yeah, Rush
Limbaugh.
Limbaugh.
Say that 5 times. He's lost all value. Limbaugh.
Well, Rush
Anyways,
was talking about, we were
Rush
on the road, so we were
doing
what
no,
we
Rush
could with the radio.
A, he was doing like a show or something. I don't know. And he had somebody on that was talking about millennials and how they feel about the environment. And apparently there's this like, idea that millennials are so concerned with the environment that they're like, we're not going to have kids.
Well, it wasn't even that. It was, I think it was a Stanford's professor who had come back with some research, and she did a lot of, no, it was actually, it was an overseas. I think it was like, that doesn't matter.
Don't
but,
claim that to the U.S. because it was stupid.
Well,
this lady was literally like,
she was a professor
I'm not going to have kids because of the environment. She wasn't my carbon footprint.
She wasn't even putting it like that. She was putting it more like scientifically. She said, we've looked at the environment. We've looked at what we're doing as humans to affect the environment. And based strictly on scientific research, the best thing an American can do to protect the environment is not have children.
That's so stupid.
It's very stupid. And we 100% disagree with that.
Even Rush Limbaugh was like, that's so stupid. And then you go off and have a hamburger. I'm sure he eats hamburgers, but he knew.
He's not an environmentalist and he's not a vegan by any means. But he knew, which most Americans do, that you're making a decision that might harm the environment. But going back to our SUV, we know it's probably better. Well, not probably. It's definitely better to drive a, you know, three-cylinder Geo Metro than it is to drive an eight-cylinder Land Rover. But
we get into those.
But we know now that we are that eight-cylinder vehicle is a fraction in the grand scheme of things of environmental
damage. I'm just waiting for someone to come at me, and I will. I have a ton of stuff to talk to them about.
They might. But
no one does.
But I guess as my new crutch said yes. But another thing that came up on this Yale question was talking about CO2, because the government can regulate CO2 output. And that becomes a very political issue when the federal government tells General Motors or Ford or any company.
Can you hold my mic?
Yes. How they should regulate their business and how much CO2 should be put out and how much exhaust a car can have that's damaging to the environment, that becomes political because that costs money, that's tax dollars, that's things out of our pocket. So the question was asked, should there be strict CO2 limits on existing coal fire plants, businesses? Should we regulate CO2 as a pollutant in general? And just in general, the national average, 75% of Americans say that we should regulate CO2 as a pollutant. But they don't.
But 3% are vegan.
3% are vegan, yes. So most of America does not know that.
Let's tell them, Jimmy. Let's tell them.
That's why we're doing this. Animal agriculture.
Spread the good word. I feel like I'm a pollutant. like a evangelical.
Well, that's
spread the good word.
Well, that's vegans are often compared to that. Like they're compared to being like almost religious because they can't keep it to themselves. But it's because
it's a good word.
It's a really good word. If you love somebody, you want them to live for a long time. If you love your world and your country and your land,
I like the world.
Yeah, you want it to be around for a while. So the fact that 75% of Americans feel that CO2 should be regulated, but 74 of them are eating cheeseburgers every single day, like that's insanity. And that's not an actual, like, I don't know, it's not a sign of people being flagrantly ignorant.
Is it an ignorance?
It's an ignorance. It's not like, I mean, ignorance is a tough term, but it's more of like a misinformation.
Yeah.
I think
they think it's cars and it's not.
It's not.
It's cow farts.
And we'll talk about why people think it's not, and today's not the day for that. But there's a lot of things that go into our government that are misleading us as Americans, but that's for a different day.
That's for a different podcast.
Wow, we're almost almost 30 minutes here. Jeez.
All right.
Let's go back to some quick numbers again. We talked about the CO2, the emissions. It's only expected to get worse. Our consumption is increasing rapidly. Consumption of meat and dairy. So
and people are like just having babies all over the place.
Yeah. So the actual population is growing. If we continue with this traditional meat and dairy and poultry diet, it's going to get worse. Cows produce 150 billion gallons of methane per day. Remember, the methane's way worse than the CO2. So when we're talking about cars, you know, if that's your concern, if you're driving a Prius right now because you think you're saving the environment and you're eating meat, then it's you're I don't know how to put it.
Yeah,
you're either you're probably misinformed. You're not.
I feel like
you're not a dick that loves cheeseburgers, but you're probably just misinformed. You don't quite understand.
Yeah, you just anybody who drives a Prius who's eating meat. You just called them out and were like, screw you.
Yeah. But I would drive. Priuses are nice, though. I would drive one.
I like Priuses. Can we get a Prius?
They're really big and they're very reliable.
Super roomy in there.
Very.
But the methane's a big issue.
The methane's a bigger issue. According to science.
Jesus Christ.
Well, we're 30 minutes in. We can go on to the next. There's so many things to talk about with the environment. We have water, we have land, we have waste, we have oceans, we have rain.
Listeners out there, if you want to get depressed and cry a little bit, watch The Cove. Has nothing to do with being a vegan.
That didn't make me that sad. I was just like, this
didn't make you. You weren't listening. That you weren't watching.
It was fucked up.
Oh my god! It was about in Japan. There's they get all their dolphins from this like cove in Japan for SeaWorld and whatnot. And SeaWorld is an awful, awful thing. Awful place to go.
It's fun though.
No, SeaWorld is like if I ever knew you to go to SeaWorld, like we would be done. It's I think you did go
one time.
It's awful.
Got splashed by an orca.
Like if you were like, oh, let's go to SeaWorld, I'd be like, we're done.
Well, I didn't know.
You didn't know. It's okay.
I like.
But anyways, fish. You watch The Cove. It's all about these dolphins being taken away from their land and shipped off to SeaWorld.
Families.
It is so sad. It's one of the only times that I literally had to hold back tears in a classroom as I was teaching.
Well, I mean, a lot of this comes back to profit. And this is one of those companies. Well, all these companies. A lot of, I think the issue with America and the world trying to understand what animal agriculture is doing to our health, what it's doing to our environment, what it's doing to starvation, what it's doing to our rainforest. It's not that people aren't concerned with that. It's that we're not getting exposed to that. And just like SeaWorld, the things that's happening in the world aren't being exposed because of profit. And profit feeds government. Profit feeds these organizations. Not even profit, just money. There's nonprofit organizations that still need money to function.
Yeah.
And without, you know, an organization, whether it's nonprofit or profit, we're talking about jobs, we're talking about livelihoods, and that's kind of the main concern. So I guess that's the bigger picture here. We're kind of far into this, but the environmental thing is huge. So we're going to talk about it a lot more beyond just global warming. But if we had to pull
our point is that if you consider yourself an environmentalist and or you're concerned in the environment and you're eating meat and dairy, you're doing a disservice to the thing that you value the most, is that meat and dairy products, the production of meat and dairy has horrific effects. When do you use Afex?
We don't have time for this.
No, because every time I've ever, like, if there's ever a question, Afex like, or Afex, when do you use Afex?
You affect something or were you affected by something?
I don't
something?
Get it. You're saying the same thing.
I know, because I'm pretending like I know the answer, but I don't.
No one knows. It's
no, they do. I
look. It's always with the E. I've looked it up.
No, you can affect something, but something affects you.
Maybe that's just nothing affects me.
So, anyways, the moral of the story
is that animal agriculture, again, Afex, I don't get it. But it's devastating to our environment. And if you're taking the short showers, you're trying to drive an efficient car, that's well and good, awesome, way to go. But if you want to make a serious impact on your environment, stop contributing to animal agriculture and your impact will be exponentially more impactful.
And that's a good term, exponentially, because it really is that much different. And if I were to tell you that environmentalism was why I became a vegan, you'd be like, hey, Jimmy, you're not in that environmental.
Yeah.
But I'm concerned. I'm not a huge, like, recycle every single thing. I'm not a ride my bike instead of drive a big car. I've never been that guy.
No, but when you but see when the I facts found and it out, got shoved in your face, you can't turn back on that.
And facts is the key term. And this is where I get confused
they're
or
not
upset
alternative facts.
Or get mad. This is what bothers me the most is there are people who don't understand this that consider themselves environmentalists. That's fine. But I often come across many people who do understand this. They don't want to hear it because it, I guess, would include a huge change in
behavior
their life.
Change.
So are you, I mean, I didn't like to recycle because that was a big behavior change. It was a pain in the ass before the city came and picked it up. you'd have to take it to a fire station or take it to like a Home Depot or like that was a behavioral change that I felt to be an inconvenience.
Right.
But now seeing the levels, like if you had to rate the best way to help the environment, numero uno, number one, by a mile, is don't support animal agriculture. And if you don't, I mean, we always like to, you know, give credit to our sources. This for me started with a book or started with a documentary, the Cowspiracy thing. But documentaries are easy to make you feel a certain way. But if you look at any of the sources from that and follow them, you'll be convinced. If you look at the UN, if you trust the UN, obviously a pretty well-known...
The WHO.
Like, any of these sources will tell you this. The sources that won't are the ones that are funded by animal agriculture. And we'll talk about that later, but there's a lot of companies that are funded by animal agriculture. And you're not going to get good information from them. But if you want to be an environmentalist and you're concerned with the future of the world environmentally, there's no way you can support animal agriculture. And that's the point of this. And we're going to talk a lot. We feel like it's doing a good thing.
The sun.
Yeah. Hair. And eating it. But we just hit 40 minutes, so we're going to wrap this up. Went longer than usual.
Hey, but that was productive. I feel like this was really educational.
Yeah.
And compared to the one before, it wasn't very educational.
No, that was fun.
But if you only like educational, let us know. Or if you just want to hear us get a little tipsy and be, you know, ridiculous together, let us know.
We'll do both. Whether you like it or not, we'll do both. But we would like some more feedback. So we're getting a lot of hits on iTunes, which is the best place to find us.
We're like celebrities now.
But
would like a signed autograph picture of me? Please just email me. I can forward you to your address.
Come to my house. I'll make you a vegan dinner.
I really will, though. Literally anyone who wants a vegan meal, come to my house. I will cook you a vegan meal.
Just don't
tell me. The door is always open.
It really is, though. But there's a few ways to get a hold of us. We kind of blab over that most of the time. We Instagram live these podcasts at Lisa Beats Your Meat. So go to that and follow it. If you're getting this on iTunes or on Podbean, which is what hosts this podcast, just click subscribe, click follow, or don't do either of those. Just comment on it. If you think this is annoying and doesn't sound right or there's something wrong with it, tell us that. If you like it like a tiny bit, tell us you like it a tiny bit. We're just, again, begging for feedback. Because every week we're like, no one's listening to this shit because no one's giving us any feedback. And then we look at the numbers and people are listening to us. And we're really, really excited about that. And we want to provide to anyone listening to us, you know, what
they
want to hear.
Want.
And, you know, come over, Lisa will make you a meal. And
we'll talk to you.
But this is Lisa Beats Your Meat, as always.
Are you sending us off?
It's time. We're
going
to hit the 45-minute moment. So
okay. You do it. You do your thing.
This has been Lisa Beats Your Meat, and we'll be back with another episode within the next 3 days.